it.
Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is episode 7 of Tour Mode. And hanging out with my boy Jeff at his apartment in the fan.
That's right. We're here on live on Main Street, but it won't be live for you. But that's...
We're live, though.
Yeah, so we're live.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Two blocks. I don't know about the tour mode continuity, but we're perhaps two blocks away from where, two or three blocks away from where Adrian recorded the historic third episode with Tyler of Sharpening.
He was not third. Sorry, he was fourth.
He was fourth.
You fucked up.
Sorry, I'm trying to get canon situated. But
all right. Before we get going too hard, so I love it. I've got a few different friends who will like message me after listening to an episode and give me feedback or to sort of set the record straight on different things. And I got a good one from my boy Jake. Who was on episode 2 regarding episode 5, the story that Eric told about pranking Sprainard. So I'm going to read Jake's message. I have some corrections and confirmations regarding the Sprainard van prank. They fully had no idea it was us. For whatever reason, they were convinced it was Alex from Get Better Records. The lady calling about her handicapped daughter was 100% real, but we thought they were playing mind games with us. We never admitted it was us, but we went to Cincinnati the next day and told the vacation guys about it, and Jerry ended up spilling the beans. Ah, Jerry. Jerry from Vacation, who just played at Fuzzy Cactus the other night. Fun tie-in.
By the way, that listening to that story was horrifying. In a good way.
To be the, like...
The recipient.
Receiving end of that kind of prank.
Getting probably text messages. I can't remember what year it was. Getting text messages or, phone calls. Be like, let me buy your van. And, like, having no idea what that person was talking about.
I guess that would be pretty stressful. But also a pretty funny prank.
Yeah. Oh, it's master level.
And then I feel like those guys talked enough shit that they deserve to be pranked.
I've never met him, but it sounded like they had it coming to them.
Exactly.
That's not an invitation to prank me.
No promises. Did you ever go through like a pranking phase in life with anyone?
For a bunch of bands I did, I don't think anyone was ever on a pranking phase. But as you probably know, because you mentioned it in the Sharpening episode, like Wow Owls, I think, had a very insular way of communicating with each other. That never really resulted to pranking, but we probably did alienate a bunch of people just by like getting drunk and playing with sticks, which is an actual thing that happened. I can't remember. But no, we specifically Wow Owls, I think, did have and I've reflected on this since a while back of like, oh yeah, we probably were really annoying, but we didn't mean any harm.
Right. Yeah. But as someone who like at least somewhat knew you guys, there's just this one weekend that I think about where we played out of town together, Triple Twins and Wow Owls.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like I was like trying to be friendly to you guys and I like knew who you all were, but we weren't close buds at that point. And like, just like attempting to like break in and like join a conversation. I was just like, it's like you guys were speaking a different language. I was just like, I have no contribution to this conversation because I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. Sorry. So retrospective apologies to everyone that just wanted to say hi to us.
And instead got some nonsense.
Yeah. Chappelle Show was big at the time, so it was
I don't know. Actually,
like I'm not gonna blame Chappelle. All joking aside, like actually the formation of that band was so Tyler and Brandon I had met like going to parties at VCU. Where we all went to college, and Brian and John Hall and I had all been like childhood friends. We all went to high school together. And I think this is around the time that my tenure in Light the Fuse and Run was winding down, and I really wanted to play music with some friends, and it'd be fun and just kind of rock out. I remember like Brian made some shirts that said, like, I just want to rock. I don't think those were WoW specifics, okay. But it was like kind of like what at least I was feeling at the time and try to instill yeah. that. And so John and Brian and I, yeah, knowing each other since we were 15 to 17 years old, you know, going on, had a pretty esoteric and yeah. arcane form of humor, sense of humor.
So
and
that then, existed before the band.
And then when yeah. we saw Tyler and Brandon at parties and they were just being loud and obnoxious, we were like, yeah, those, let's get in with guys. That. Yeah, let's ask them to play music. And that worked out. You're and like, then it took it, and then it took the obnoxiousness to a whole nother
right,
level.
Your powers combined, yeah. and you're like, this is our family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, it was, you know, then history wrote itself.
Right. Yeah. What surprised me on Tyler's was him mentioning that you guys weren't actually a band for that long.
Yeah, yeah, we weren't really a band for that. Like maybe 2 years, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that's what he said.
I like it was 2004 to 2000. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you mentioned the reunion shows, the many many reunion shows. Yeah. Of
which I always like. I'm always down for reunion shows. I'm enjoying the rash of reunion shows of like old people reunion shows is yeah. what I call them. Like because A, it's like a band you haven't seen in a long time, and you're like, that's nice. But also the people that all come out, it's like, oh, I'm going to see all the old people that I used to see at like fucking Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. Maybe and that's the nice. Function of it, at least for that. We've done a fair amount and I'm not as excited to do those anymore.
Sure.
Just because my body's different. and also
you
just
can't rock the crop tops you used to play
yeah
in.
Yeah and also yeah just the lyrics from when that I was 23 years sense. Old sure. just very don't sure. don't really resonate to a 38 year old
right screaming the time. Things that you wrote
yeah.
a long long time ago would probably feel very strange
yeah. yeah yeah I wrote most of those lyrics when I was graduating college
right
you know in 2000 late 2004 yeah. But yeah that's Wow Wows.
What? There you go. Well, do you have any Wow Wows stories? I see.
I have a, so as I mentioned to you before we started, I tried to like think about, this opportunity to chat as more of like kind of marrying, some absurdities of life and, the mundane day-to-day things of tour, okay. which, and that made me think of like food options sure. and also, just how important it is to stay healthy on the road, but also at the lot at the same time, you're like
people
eating
do that?
Taco Bell and yeah. like, and I was going through just like food lists from different tours and like trying to think of like food stories that I had. And, a lot of them, should be no surprise to anyone that's been on tour of like a lot of them are burrito or pizza related.
Yes.
Versus, you know, when you're when, cause that's what the access you have or yeah. like to think about, Wow Wows went and recorded our first demo in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Okay.
We thought it was a good idea to take that trip and, to record a demo, even though it probably cost
more to do it there.
More to yeah. do it there. And, we also rented a 15 passenger van to drive up the East Coast.
Was it like a friend's recording studio or something?
We recorded our demo with Will Killingsworth, who was in the band Orchid and runs the studio Dead Air.
Okay.
I've recorded with him a couple of times, twice with Best Practices now, once with Lights, Fuse, and Run.
Cool.
And, once with Wow Wows. And, I remember we were riding up, and we played Philly and then we were going to ride up to the house in Amherst, Massachusetts that Will recorded at the time. And there was a snowstorm.
Nice.
I just remember the ice was building up on the, sides of the roads where it kept creeping into the highway.
Ooh, that's scary.
And, we kept like, I don't remember who was driving. It wasn't me at the time, but like,
it wasn't me.
It was maybe Brandon or Tyler, but it was like, trucks on your left, trucks on your right. And there was just like kind of scary to like, by the time we had left Philadelphia and by the time we had actually gotten to Amherst, Massachusetts, like it was definitely like probably not a great driving environment.
Right.
But I remember, and we recorded and, that was really fun. And Will was great. And was also like the first, from what I remember, the trip that all five of us had together as a band in like 2004. Again, Brian and I and John and I have known each other for a lot longer time than that, but just kind of having that like bonding trip was like really fun. And I remember we like went to a diner afterwards of like, it might have been a Denny's or it might have been like a local version of a Denny's after that. And aforementioned that we were being really obnoxious with our with people that didn't know, like there was, you can see it on the, I posted the last Wow Wows recordings on the Best Practices Bandcamp. But there's a photo of Tyler Brandon taking a photo with a waitress that's Tyler that Tyler's taking a photo of, that I took a photo of them taking a photo of.
Oh my God.
And what? Like, yeah, I just remember like we were, because we were all really amped up that like we felt like the band was really fun and like special at that time to us. And being as obnoxious we are, like, yeah, being like, oh, what's up? Hey, I can't remember what the circumstances around it were, but it came to like Brandon in the,
just accosting a waitress, or
she
like,
was laughing. I don't think. I, you know, this is also 2004, so I'm not trying to put 2020 politics on it.
I'm imagining a Waffle House.
I think it was something like that, or like it had a clock as an icon, like a diner. I can't remember what it was specifically, but I also like just remember that feeling of like listening to the playbacks of the recordings, like as we were driving to and from,
and getting pumped.
Yeah, getting pumped on your, it's like, oh yeah, I really like that. I don't think we had solos, but like, oh yeah,
that part.
It's like really cool.
Yeah. That's so
it was
nice.
Like, I think the main memory I had from like Wow Wow's recording food. The other one I had is when we did tour Europe that Tyler touched on a little bit in episode 4.
correct.
So we toured with Altered Dolphins, and I remember we went out and got food quite a bit every once in a while. And like, there was this one place, it was probably Germany because we mostly played Germany. I ordered a 4-cheese pizza, and I remember we're all kind of like lazily milling about, and I see someone like the person behind the, that's will be making others foods, unwrapping a slice of American cheese.
Oh no.
And like putting it down, and I'm just like looking in horror, like, please don't let that be my pizza.
Right. Don't put that on my pizza.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it was on my pizza.
Oh, no.
That was one of the 4-cheeses American craft singles. And like that was pretty bad.
Were there 3 other cheeses or what?
Yeah. There were 3 other cheeses, okay. But like one, but like if you're thinking of a 4-cheese pizza, right, you're like Parmesan, Fontina, right, maybe smoked Gouda,
right,
Manchego, Fontina. I don't know. Not
mozzarella.
American. Yeah, mozzarella. Yeah, yeah. The biggest one you think. Not American.
Ew. So, and did they leave it like fully square shaped and just like plop it on there?
Actually, yes, I think so. I don't think it was even like a cut and paste job onto a slice, but it was like,
that's,
I remember,
so
it was like a really doughy slice, not unlike bottoms up pizza for anyone that's not in the Richmond area. Yeah. It's like a really doughy, airy slice.
Like Chicago style,
yeah,
a little bit.
Deep.
This is a lot of deep dish.
Yeah. So. You're trying to bait me into an accent.
Hey, man, if you want to, I did it
Dumb
first.
Dumb
Bears.
And those were, I remember like being horrified. It was, and then that was
but
what
you
it was.
Ate it.
Oh, and the other, yeah, and I ate it.
Of course.
Because I paid for it.
Yeah.
And what else was I going to do?
Exactly.
The other thing on that tour, food related wise, is we were hanging out again, probably in another German flat, and I was eating a banana, and I was like, oh, you know what would be really tight right now? And they're like, what? You're like, if I could have some peanut butter on this, because peanut butter on banana is delicious. And the person we were staying with was like, that's the most American thing you could have ever have said.
What?
And I, you know, not to, and I was like, well, I am American.
Right. And it's good.
And it would be delicious, but you kind of forget.
Was he like, fuck you, here's some Nutella?
No, I'm not a huge fan of Nutella, but I wish he was that aggressive about
Nutella.
I just was
surprised like how much Nutella is everywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
They fucking
love that shit. And peanut
butter is
nowhere.
Exactly. That's hence the hence my joke.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
As far as like some other Eurocentric food stories, so I was the third bassist in Light the Fuse and Run, which is a very esteemed. I wrote 6 songs with them, so you know my tenure was legit.
Yeah.
But I did a fair amount of touring with them. I was a roadie for a full U.S. tour with them and played bass for one U.S. tour and a European tour. And that tour was, I think anyone would in that band would tell you, really fucking brutal, because we played like 96 shows.
Holy
with like the whole
shit.
Tour was like 3.5 months long, from like
Holy
May something
shit.
To the end of August.
That's a lot.
And yeah, it was,
that was the US or
that
both?
Was the US, and we had like maybe 5 days off total.
Wow.
With a 3-day off in between the Europe lag and the American lag. And so I say that to say I felt exhausted, and like
yeah.
years and years later, I realized that as exhaustion, but everyone else was like, hey man, are you okay? because like we got to Europe and I legit slept for 40 of the first 48 hours we were there.
Wow.
Cause we had like 3 days in between of like getting to Europe.
Okay.
In the Groningen, in the Netherlands area. Yeah, just feeling exhausted. And then, but I remember coming down where they're like, Jeff, we're making burritos. Do you want to come have burritos? I'm like, yeah, that's really nice.
I do.
But they're also European burritos, which in at least in 2003 or 2004, they didn't like, weren't, Mexican cuisine wasn't like readily available.
Okay.
So you're like having to make like burritos and with like kind of just like off the cuff ingredients. I think we had refried beans and tortillas, which are probably like the staples, but
sure.
I just remember it being an experience. And then like, I ate one, maybe ate two, and then went back to sleep for another like
Damn.
Couple hours. And then when we finally got on the road to actually play, rocked that shit, played that bass.
Well, yeah, we sleep for 40 hours.
Yeah. But,
that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, looking back on it, it was like pretty. The first leg of the tour was like pretty exhausting mentally. And
for your body to shut down for that long, you were probably pretty fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, but like, I didn't. At least that tour, like, I didn't really drink or do many drugs or anything. So like,
just
like
straight up.
Yeah, I think it was like mental exhaustion and that sort of thing. I think, to be honest, I think I drank like once a week that tour.
Yeah. Like, how can you afford to drink more than that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you're out that long, I'm like, I'm surprised you could afford to eat.
Yeah, well, we went to Taco Bell a lot, which also feeds into the story of, like, the theme of, like, so we were touring with Transistor.
Okay.
Which is a band out of New Hampshire that's no longer around. We also did a split with them, so we were touring on the Light Fuse and Run Transistor split.
Okay.
Put out by Level Plane Records, if you remember hearing of them.
So they were on that long tour?
Yeah, they were
guys?
On that
oh,
long tour.
Okay.
Not for the European trip. That was with this band, A Thousand Travels of Jawaharo.
Okay.
Who was also a fantastic band.
Cool.
They were a Japanese band.
Nice.
Post-hardcore band.
Nice.
But yeah, Transistor, and they were, I think, everyone on that trip, not to throw anyone under the bus, but like, obviously, I just said I slept for 40 of 48 hours going to Europe, so I'll, you know, put myself out there first. But I think everyone was kind of, you know, going through their early 20s, like quarter life crisis sort of stuff, and like trying to figure out like where there was. So like we ate Taco Bell a lot, and Taco Bell wasn't just like, oh yeah, let's go to Taco Bell and get fourth meal. It was like, no, this is like what we have to do to make sure something is like sane and something is right in this world and something hasn't changed.
Aww.
So Taco Bell is like,
Aww.
You know, in Inception, they have that,
the spinny
that
top.
Totem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taco Bell was our spinny top.
Right.
Of like, to make sure that everything was chill,
right.
that I could still get my quesadilla, my cheese quesadilla.
Right. And when everything changes every single day, to have something that's consistent is very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like everyone goes to Taco Bell because it is cheap as fuck and you don't have money when you're touring, but like, that's a good point. And it's funny, like that makes me think of times when we just needed to kill time for whatever reason. And we were like, let's walk around Target. And like every Target is the same for the most part. And it's like, it's like relaxing in a weird way. And like, oh my God, what a commercial world we live in. But like, it is like just strolling around something that feels familiar when you've been in like place after place after place that's new and new people.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I never gave Taco Bell the credit it deserved, I guess.
Yeah. What pillowcases does Target have in this area of the nation?
Yeah. Yeah. What Halloween things do they have here?
But yeah, that's what Taco Bell was for me on that tour. And then there was one person on that trip at one point. Well, actually, Chris Kirby was a vegan on that trip, so he had vegan brain at that time of, and then
so he's like, I can only eat at Taco Bell.
Yeah, and like,
so there really weren't that many options at that.
We haven't really gotten in. I haven't really heard about the vegan late 90s, early 2000s dichotomy of like band drama of like, we need to go here because of this.
But, yeah,
there was a little bit of that, and then I remember like one time. So I was like, no, we're going to McDonald's. And if anyone doesn't want to go to McDonald's, then they're not. Then they can find somewhere else to eat. Like, I remember eating like a large fry for one meal.
Right.
But being like, oh, this is different.
Sure. But that shit does happen.
Yeah.
If someone really wants McDonald's and they're that grumpy about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not so much about McDonald's, but I will have to give props to Evan, the drummer of Life Views Around, Evan Plan, who does this screen printing business in Charlotte, North Carolina now called Dockyards Designs, which is he's doing really good stuff, and I like his work a lot. But he was always really impressive. So we went on those two nationwide tours, and the first time was 2003 or 2002. So I'm kind of getting like some of those dates.
It
was
sure.
The first year we were going to Phoenix or Tempe, Arizona, and went to this place like burrito shop like called Filiberto's, and it was fine. Like that's besides the point.
It's like, is that the story? It's
no,
fine.
No. I was always impressed with them the year later without this, because this is 2003 and 2004, where like you need a MapQuest, you're like look for the kids, like past the second McDonald's, turn back around, make a right, and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
My man Evan was able to find Filiberto's without any directions a year later, based on just like
having been there
a year prior of like driving there. And we always used to like marvel at that of like,
that is impressive.
Yeah.
I like to think that I have a good sense of direction, like just like get my bearings straight. Like I always like to give myself the challenge of like, if you're leaving somewhere where you're staying, like, can I remember how to get back to the interstate? And like, I don't know. I'd like to say that I'm pretty good at that, but still, a year later in a town you've only been to like once, that is really impressive.
Yeah. The other food story with Light Diffuse, actually Light Diffuse and Run like to eat a lot, but again, it's a lot of burritos and pizzas and stuff like
that. I'm just impressed that you had money to do that. Were they making money? Were you guys making money on those?
I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but we had a $3 per diem for that tour.
Per person, everybody got $3 a day.
So $15 a person. $15 per day for the band.
That's better than nothing.
Definitely.
I've never had a per diem ever. So that's...
I didn't even know that was a thing. Before or ever. Like I've never had a per diem before and never had one since.
But I mean, nice. I like that.
But yeah, but it helped get coffee and
fuck yeah.
Things along that line.
Yeah. And if you want one beer, you can have a PBR.
Yeah, one PBR. Yeah. With tip.
Yeah.
One of the like week trips that they used to do, we went to my first inkling of the grease trucks. Do you know about the grease trucks?
I've heard of the grease trucks. I've never been.
Oh, they are.
Tell the people what they are.
Well,
people, the grease trucks.
If you haven't been to the wonderful state of New Jersey, it's this area in Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where it's in a lot. At least it was. I haven't been there in years.
And this is pre like food truck trend.
Pre food truck trend, yeah.
Which is why it was like pre chop challenge. That's just fun to say. Yeah. Pre chop challenge. Is chop chop? What is chop challenge?
Well, I watched an I watched an episode of Chop last night, and it was a bunch of food truck chefs all competing for the $10,000 prize.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
Yeah. So pre chop challenge. it was a bunch of food trucks, in all within this one deserted parking lot near Rutgers University, and they all had very similar offerings of like. Really Frankenstein put together sandwiches. So it'd be like a hero hoagie, but with mozzarella sticks and French fries and marinara sauce, all right. The same sandwich, or cheesesteak, but with mozzarella fries and French fries and all that sort of stuff. And
kind of like po' boys almost.
Yeah. Like, just a real
with random shit.
North, yeah. Just a Northeast po' boy.
Yeah.
Is probably a good way to look at it. And, I had my first one there.
What'd you get?
It was the one with falafel. I can't remember what it was called. It was like and they all were like the fat moon, the fat bike, the fat cabinet, and like other things. Like actually one of them, they like changed the name of because it's like not cool to say. This is. Early times, sure. We were like, oh, this
early times.
Yeah, earlier times in our culture. When people weren't as woke.
Sure.
Essentially. So, yes. But think of, and they would also, I never experienced or did this, but like, I think they had a challenge, at least at that time, if you're like, you ate five or six of them within an hour, got a sandwich named after you. So there'd be like photos of like college kids, like around, like, you know, an exhausted looking, right, like 20 something year old. Yeah. Sweaty. Like just like
greasy.
I did it. I ate the sandwiches, right. Mom.
Just to get it named after
maybe
you.
Maybe like the fat Joey or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Ate five fat Joey's, Mom. Yeah. did it.
So yeah, that's like the fuse and run. Damn. We ate a lot.
Okay. So there's one tour that Jeff and I did together where he played bass in Triple Twins.
On that, I remember it. So I think some of my main memories from that are in Pittsburgh, where we hung out at Brent's parents' house and played pool downstairs.
The Lava Lounge.
And we played Lava Lounge.
Yes.
And that's where one of Brent's cousins or aunts came and saw us play.
And got like sloshed.
She got kind of sloshed. And also she was like, if you're... bassist is gonna, you know, try to rack out, he needs to like work on his butt or something like that. She is essentially like, she's like, he needs to work that out more.
Wow.
And I also remember Wolfgang, who is
our roadie,
who is also in the band the Richmond bass band Antlers, yes. Amongst other bands,
yes,
was talking to a man on the street who was like trying to hustle and trying to grift him for something, and Brent like kind of did a like, hey, come here, Wolf, come on, like, come back in the van. He was like, what, huh? Like, okay.
You're right. And I remember that drunk aunt also like totally party fouling and like dropping her wine glass like in the bar. Do you remember that? That venue was cool though. It had like this little sunken area. Do you remember this? I have a photo of it, is why I remember it. And it's like basically like if you put like a circular booth sunken in the floor.
Yeah.
Which is weird to do. And like this whole place looks like the walls look like lava. And
that's what I said too. And I remember someone being like, what does that even mean? Like, I was like, it looks like the inside of a volcano. Yes. And someone was like, what does that even mean? We're like, all right,
well,
I'm not gonna.
Imagination, and it's not your fault.
Thank you. Thank you for years.
Yes.
Brian Turk, that one's out to you.
Oh, that's Brian, right. I can show you pictures. Yeah. Quit being unimaginative.
I remember Brent made us like avocado sandwiches, and that's before like he became, you know, very storied and successful chef.
I'm like just constantly blown away at how successful they have been. Like, it's I mean, not that they don't deserve it, but I'm just like, holy fuck.
But I'm here to tell you, we were there for Brent's avocado sandwiches.
First.
And yeah, first in the year 2007.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think. I can't remember too much. We did Pittsburgh. We did, you talked about having a party at Rachel's parents' house from Bridge and Tunnel.
Yes!
And I remember
that tour.
We played CeeLo, and yes, that was like all that. But what I remember is trying to find a bathroom by myself, and it was
like in the middle of the night or something.
No, not in the middle of the night. It was like while we were all hanging out, but it was like kind of a
it's a big house, a
decent house.
Yeah.
And wandering into a room where there was like buses of Kiss like figures of like mannequins.
What?
Just like painted busts of masks, just like almost like staring at the entrance of the threshold of the door where I'm like, what's going on? I remember having to like pull, I think either Mike or Brent to be like, hey man, just check this out.
I do not remember that.
And
but
I also
that was
remember,
a really fun night.
Yeah, and I remember trying to convince Mike Ashley to like get a good frozen pizza. And I'm putting that in quotes. A good frozen pizza. That's not Totino's. That's like Freschetta.
Someone else that's also good at food stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have that gene in me. I'm not good at food stuff.
That was a really fun. Yeah, that was a really fun trip.
Okay, so it was like up to like New York and Pittsburgh and then back.
And I can't remember. I think there was one other date and we played Richmond. I think it was like 5 dates.
Man, I wish I remember more from that era. I really don't. It's really sad.
To be fair, it was also 12 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it was.
So I guess like for any listeners that might not know me, I have been in a fair amount of bands, but none of them have been super noteworthy. We're talking like D-list bands or maybe even below.
I mean, the same level that everyone I've talked to so far yeah. has been at.
So I played bass in Lights, Fuse, and Run, which we had aforementioned talked about, which I was on one split. then I was also in Wow Owls. I screamed in that, and that's probably one of the more larger endeavors that
did
I did at that time.
Did you fall off the stage in that band?
I did
Is
not.
Is that you? I have a memory
no,
of someone
maybe,
I know falling I don't know. Off the stage.
Wolfgang did fall off the stage at the Antlers release show.
That's who it was.
During their last song.
Yes. He was just rocking out really hard
yeah.
and just like tumbled off the stage.
At Gallery 5. And that was a fantastic show because they yes. had Taylor doing trumpet. And I think they had like a second drummer for a second.
Yeah.
And that was a great show.
That was, I remember that. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I remember that specifically of like being like, where's Wolfgang?
Right. And that's a big, like a tall stage to fall off of.
Yeah. That didn't, it didn't look
I wouldn't
awesome.
Want to fall off that one.
And then after, I've moved around quite a bit,
yeah.
as you know. So I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and lived in Providence, Rhode Island for about 4 years, where I played in a band called Best Practices with some members of Weak Teeth, and then moved to D.C., where I didn't really... I played with a guy named Brandon Korch, who was the drummer of Monument.
Oh, that's a good band.
They were a great band. We did not get out of the basement, but I did record the songs that we wrote together, not with him, but with Neil from Weak Teeth on drums about a year ago, and I'm finishing up that recording soon.
Cool.
And also played, it was a pitch hitter bass for Triple Twins. And
yeah, did you didn't do any studio time with us, did you?
No, but I would have liked to. I thought those songs were great. And I also did a tour with my friend Matt Leach, who is in a bunch of bands in Harrisonburg, Virginia area, where I went to grad school. He was in a band called America Tourists, which I played in, and he also played in a band called Cool Ghost and The Alphabet. And Matt's a really
the
great...
The Alphabet?
The Alphabet.
I like that.
And, yeah, they were... A lot of the Harrisonburg bands, in my opinion, don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Sure.
And I would include the, for lack of a better term, some of the Charlottesville bands in that. So like Invisible Hand was like one of my favorite bands of that. So I went on an ill-fated trip with American Tourists. It was probably like the worst trip band tour I was ever in, but it was also like the most low stakes touring I've ever been
so
in.
So when you say worst, like, did like a bunch of shit go wrong or like worst, like
everything. Okay. So like, you name it, like breakdowns, being stuck in a dry county, with a vehicle breakdown. I think we had 15 shows supposedly planned and we only ended up playing 5 of them out to South by Southwest.
Oh, to go like pretty far too.
Yeah. And like Matt continued on without me. I was, I flew back to Harrisonburg to, continue my studies at that time.
To be a responsible
and,
human.
Like the car we were driving in, cause it was a 2-piece like Americana folkish sort of thing.
Okay.
Like that was overheating constantly. Like, like just like a death trap on wheels.
Right. Did you have to like blast the heat, that kind of overheating?
Maybe. I'm not going to commit to that.
Okay. That's fair.
but maybe, tour. Yeah. Just everything you could generally have go wrong with a tour went wrong with it. And
anybody get any fights?
No, No, there. Nice. I have only been in like probably one real fight on the tour, which I can. No, two real fights actually. That I did get clearance of to talk about one of them.
I like that you got clearance.
Matt and I like are good friends and didn't like. But it was like a pretty stressful thing. But at the same time, like at that time, and I don't want to speak for Matt, but like my impression of it was he had just graduated from James Madison University in Harrisonburg with a SMAD degree, and you know, since he's been killing it. But I think there was this moment of him trying to decide like whether he wanted to try to do music full time or design work full time or a little bit of both. And again, this is just like me kind of like maybe a little bit projecting or seeing it. So like the tour seemed to mean a lot, and that the band meant a lot to him, where I'm like, yeah man, let's just hang out,
right?
Like,
yeah.
And I brought coolers. Like I was like, I'm a pescatarian now, but I was like eating meat at the time. So I was like, yeah, I'm bringing like prosciutto and turkey and a cooler. And I took like, I was living in a house with a bunch of people at that time. I took like the sweet and spicy mustard, the Southwest mustard, and brought it. I was like really excited to like make sandwiches on the road. And I got a text a couple of days later, like all caps, like, did you take the spicy mustard
from your roommates?
Yeah. So like, that's how I saw that tour. Right. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. We're going to Texas. Right. And, it was a lot of fun, but it was also like pretty stressful. I'm going to see if I can get him on the phone.
Okay. So Jeff has a friend that he wants to phone in.
We'll see. Well, he also, yeah, might be busy with having a family, but.
So this is the tour mode first. A live call in.
We'll see. I don't know if it's gonna happen.
Will he? Won't he?
Oh yeah, they do.
Who is this? Who are we calling?
This is Matt Leach.
Okay.
From.
Hi, this is Matt Leach. Please leave your name.
Damn it, Matt!
Oh, Matt. All right. Well.
Did he text you back?
No, he did not.
Oh fuck.
We'll try. I'm sure he's fine.
All right.
But yeah, so one of the things that went wrong, like on those tour cancellations, and I think most people that have been on tour have had that experience of like showing up to a place and then they're being like, what are you talking about? There's no show.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Definitely.
And one of them was this place in Aubrey, Texas called Joey's Supper Club. And it was an Italian, and I've been trying to like find an online presence for this place for the last like 11 years. Like it's been my like dream to like be able to buy a Joey's Supper Club t-shirt for Matt for like a Christmas gift one year or something.
I've like, so nice.
But like, I don't think the business exists anymore.
What town are we talking about?
Aubrey, Texas. All right. Near Denton.
If you know
it's near
anything about this place, hit us up. We need a t-shirt.
Please.
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 Sincerest pleases.
It was in like a shopping center, like an Italian restaurant in a shopping center, and like, just suburban Texas.
But so that's like, where you play.
Think about suburban Short Pump.
Sure.
But with a lot more sky space.
Right. I mean, anytime I'm in Texas outside of Austin, I'm just like scared. So if I'm in like a strip mall.
It wasn't scary, but
no? Okay.
But it was like, disarming.
Maybe I'm being like fucked up and I'm not being nice about taxes, but whatever.
It was, I don't know.
I don't care.
It was just disarming where like we showed up and like, I think I just had a mustache at the time and I had a sleeveless shirt on. And
so
like,
you fit right in.
Yeah. And like, you know, tour mode, like yes. Mustache, shirtless,
dirty.
Yeah. Just like going into a pretty hospitable,
family style.
Yeah. Family establishment. That's like, huh? Like it smells weird. What happened? And then like they look over and it's like us just standing in the doorway being like, bring me the PA. So we show up and, Joey, I presume it's Joey. I can't, you know, don't remember.
Someone.
And we're like, hey, we're here for the show. He's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, boy.
And he's a 50-something, you know, early 60-something-year-old restaurateur. Uh-huh. We're like, you know, now he has these like 20-something-year-olds like, hey, we're here for the show.
Right.
What's up, pops? You know, like, we're going to play your venue. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then we're like, we got the show booked. And he's like, I mean, we have shows here, but like, we don't have anyone booked tonight. See, I don't have any like points to the wall. Like we'd have posters.
Oh no.
And we're like, oh, but we had like, Blair
so-and-so.
Said we had a show right. And he's like, oh, Blair, I fired that shitbag weeks ago.
Oh no.
And we're like, oh, okay.
Blair.
And so he's trying to be like, to be honest, Joey, if he's around and listening, was very hospitable. He's like, I mean, I'll let you guys play and like, I'll give you some food. And so he gave us a pizza. So we ate a sad road pizza in Joey's supper club. And then like, it became clear and clear. We would bum everyone out so hard if we actually stayed. Like we weren't like an abrasive band,
right?
But it was like,
not your crowd.
You know, like I would be bummed if I was out to dinner and then like
sure.
Two 20-something-year-old were like, hey, we're the band now. You excited about this?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't think it was like
ready to not be able to talk during your dinner date.
Yeah. So like everyone came to the right decision together.
Yeah. To not play.
And, but we got it was delicious pizza that I do remember.
And was it free?
It was free.
That's nice. All right. Well, that's not terrible. Yeah. I don't know.
So most food stories on the road are about pizza and burritos, as I mentioned.
Did you ever
marking
get
that
the...
one
check it off. Did you ever get the free Chipotle?
No, what's that?
You never heard of that?
I probably did, but I don't remember it.
For a while, there was a thing where if you called ahead to a Chipotle and said that you were like a band's manager or that you were a touring band or mm-hmm. whatever, and that you were about to come through town, that they would give you free food. You never heard of this?
I never did that, but I did.
So it was like a legend that we were like unsure about, but we would just like try every now and again. And most of the time you'd call and they'd be like, what? No. Who? No. What are you talking about? Fuck off. Yeah. Like, no. And then
Chipotle hasn't been here for years.
I'm a ghost.
Yeah. Ghost burrito.
My other band. Ghost burrito.
And it's probably a band from Philly that we don't know about.
But yeah, one time it worked.
I do remember Light the Fuse and Run did go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And that if you gave them a recording
CD,
or a demo, they would let you in for free. And we gave them a Tri-State Killing Spree LP,
nice.
And they let us all in for free.
Fuck yeah.
And it was like 8 of us at that time. There was some people traveling with us.
I can't remember what band I was with, but I got to do that at one point in life, too.
It was
pretty
fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love shit like
awesome.
That. There should be more hookups like that. And I feel like there's been been talks of some sort of Taco Bell one, but I've never.
I heard some. I think either Dikembe or You Blew It, those bands had mentioned being sponsored or trying to get sponsored by Taco Bell, and I can't remember if one of them was successful about it or not.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
Yeah,
sounds like a dream.
Yeah, you know, like ooh. There's an Amtrak. So I like riding the train.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. There's an Amtrak Riders fellowship where like
ooh.
You can apply to ride the train and write your
That sounds
put your
nice.
Thoughts down on your digital paper and like I your computer. And I've always thought that sounded like a fun thing, and that's like that would probably be my equivalent of like the Taco Bell dream.
Is to be in that fellowship?
Well, to ride the Amtrak for free like writing a story or something specifically from the line from Seattle to Los Angeles. I think that'd be fun. It's apparently really pretty.
I've only had bad experiences on Amtrak. I'm going to be honest with you.
Ed, what?
Like, for as much money as it costs, I want it to be more luxurious than it is. And I've gotten stuck and been delayed every time I've taken it.
That'll happen.
To the point that, like, I was, like, trying to have a, like, treat yourself moment and take the train up to Philly to go see a show.
Oh.
And, like, the train was so delayed that I almost missed the show. And I did miss, like, the first band that I really, really wanted to see. Like, I went to that show in Philly because I wanted to see the opener and the headliner.
Yeah.
And, like, missed the opener because the train was so delayed.
That is a bummer, and that does happen from time to time. And I think that's the kind of, like,
risk
gamble that you're trying to take with it. What I like about Amtrak is that not so much in a treat yourself sort of way, but like it's a very like lower stress level than like getting on a plane
or driving. And that's why it was treat yourself for me.
You can like bring your own food on there.
You can bring alcohol.
Yeah. Bring alcohol,
which feels wrong. But like once you see someone else do it, you're like, it's fine.
But it feels so right when you're
there.
The pro tip. Now, all you tour mode listeners out there, if I see you on the, you know, on the dining car, like just do a head nod. And then,
oh God,
you know,
that dining car is ridiculous. It's expensive.
Well, yeah, it's expensive, but you can still sit there for free and still get all the like table space and like do your work and
they
do
won't
whatever
kick
you want
to
do.
For sitting there too long.
They won't kick you out for sitting there. That's my like pro tip of that. And if you're going to anything else besides the Northeast Regional, which has a little bit more black seating fare, it can be a little different. But I took the train up to Philly to see the Jesus Lizard for the first time.
Nice.
Recently, it was fun.
Nice. That sounds
tour
good.
Mode trains.
Totally not touring, but whatever.
Yeah. I can tell you about one of the times broke down going from Gainesville. This wasn't, I don't think it was playing, but I remember we ate at Waffle House and I hate Waffle House.
Bad. Oh no.
Yeah. Hot take. This is tour mode canon.
Oh boy.
I do not like Waffle House.
Why?
And
please tell me.
It's just not, I'm a picky eater and I don't think Waffle House is that great. And I think you can find a lot better options for the price point. We've talked about Taco Bell a lot, and I would go to Taco Bell over Waffle House.
They got fucking breakfast food, bitch.
They got breakfast burritos, I'm sure.
They didn't used to. They might now.
They did a long time ago. Granted, I haven't been to Taco Bell for breakfast in many a year.
I love breakfast food. I also grew up going to Waffle House.
Go to Denny's.
That Denny's is not as good as it's more expensive.
Denny's is more expensive, but I would argue is better in Waffle House.
I know
I'm going to get some heat for this.
This
but,
is a hot take.
But
it really
this is.
I
think I got burnt out on Waffle House after like doing plays in high school.
And doing plays.
Yeah, we would
in
go to like cast parties. Would all have Waffle House.
Because
go to Waffle
they were
House
late at night, and you
it'd be like late at night. What?
That's just so funny. You really went to enough to get burnt out. You had enough.
I don't know if that's like really
cast
true. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, yeah.
At Waffle House, I'm
listen,
calling I, bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right
okay.
Now.
All right. No, you know what?
Listen.
You know what? I may have been to Waffle House. I'm gonna say like 10 to 20 times in my high school years, but that still doesn't like mean I liked it. Burnt out. You're right. Burnt out is not the right. I just don't think it's great.
That's fair.
I'm not
There's
a big
just
fan.
Few things that anyone could say that I would like really get my, my hackles up about. Yeah. That's one of them. That's one of them. I fucking love Waffle House so much.
Do I like covered hash browns? Sure. But like, we all do. Sure. I'm not saying that. But
you
like,
are.
But like, does that mean you have to go to Waffle House for that? You can get, times have changed. You can get frozen hash browns. You can put an American slice of cheese on it. In the comfort of your own home.
I don't have a kitchen and I'm on tour.
You know where you're staying probably. All I'm trying to say is the Waffle House dream, to me, this is bullshit.
I like it enough that when they sent out a little thing about having a special on Valentine's Day, I texted it to Nandez and I was like, can we go?
Well, that's just darn cute. I can't. No, I'm not. No, I'm right? Not that much of a hater.
Right. Okay. All right. All right.
On. Okay. So like on tour.
Candlelit Waffle House. Oh, it's so cute. Okay. On tour. Go. Sorry.
No, I'm not going to. No, continue. I'm not going to hit on that.
I mean, I also just have like a lot of nostalgia because growing up in Roanoke, there were two places that were open past dark and it was Walmart or Waffle House. And so we would go eat at Waffle House and then we would go play hide and seek at Walmart in the middle of the night and they would get mad at us.
Oh, you know what? We did, I think one of the tours I went on, we did a hide and seek at the Marriott in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's like this huge hotel. I mean, it's a hotel, it's Marriott, sure. But like multiple stories of like trying to like run and catch people on. But yeah, that was, yeah, I hadn't thought about that in a while. And like, I remember going back to the food theme, the guy that was like, you know, took us there, and a very gracious host and a very nice host whose name I can't remember. So my apologies. Also that's 20 okay. years ago. He was like, and then sometimes you can like just take people's leftovers that they like, of room service they didn't want.
Yep.
And
John brought that up in the last episode that hasn't aired yet. Yep.
Yeah. So that sounds like some, like, I'm not as excited about that.
You'd rather have Waffle House than someone's leftovers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
On record? Yes.
Yes. Did you ever do the thing
so you can
kind
of see like this whole like risk averse personality building up?
you're really building a personality profile for everyone. Did you ever do the thing where you try to go to a hotel that you didn't stay at, but you go to get the free breakfast?
I'm sure we did. I can't remember.
Yeah. That's a risky one. It doesn't always work, but it's fun to try.
I was on one tour with John Martin, and I don't think we did that too much. Did he talk about Tunica, Mississippi at all?
No.
All right. Well, that's a lead up to another episode then.
Why? Why can't you tell the story?
Because it's not food related.
Oh my God. You got to get off your theme a little bit, dog. Yeah. You really painted yourself into a corner with this theme. What's the story?
Where Amtrak is.
Oh my God.
You know what? No, that's what I just said is bullshit. I've been on two tours with John Martin, but one of them was with Mouth Breather with Tyler and John. It was one of the first Mouth Breather tours, and I know Tyler didn't talk about this, and I don't think John did. But I haven't listened to the episode. Check out episode 7, 6. Doesn't matter.
Yours is 7. John's is 6.
So we were stranded in Gainesville.
Okay.
Staying with Allison Thornsberry.
I feel like someone brought this up. Keep going.
Yeah, Tyler did bring it up, but he didn't tell you about the tofu scramble that I made for them. Have you heard about this?
No. I'm laughing that you found a way to bring in your theme.
Yeah. So in 2007, so the same year of the Triple Twins tour. So during that time, I was training for a marathon. And I remember this because like I wanted to publish a book of this at this time about like training for a marathon and like tried to get as much like travel in at that time to like kind of be of a mixed travelogue sort of not runner's guide, but like runner's diaries sort of thing. And you know, a year went by and I reread the diaries and I was like, oh, this is way too hard on the sleeve and no one needs to listen to this. So that precipitate a lot of like some of the travel decisions I made. Like, I went up to New York for a couple of days. I was living in New Hampshire for a little bit, and the Triple Twins tour and the Mouth Breather tour occurred at that time. The Mouth Breather tour, we were going down to Gainesville and out to Memphis, Tennessee, and I can't remember where else because it was cut short in Gainesville when the van broke down.
Right.
I bring that up, and so this is around the time, keeping with the theme of like burritos and pizza, like around 2007, I was realizing I really enjoyed cooking and like trying to like, and I think around the time of Triple Twins and like Brent and Ben were also, you know, having their own awakenings about this of like sharing food and like coming together as community and like being able to like congregate at a table and it being really fun and
how nice
like,
that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like having that like togetherness. And I think a lot of touring is about that togetherness and about that, like feeling a part of the group and feeling
shared
like
experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like putting something out in the world that you think the world, can adapt or learn from, or like should share, or like have,
or at least enjoy.
Yeah. Whether it's food or music or that sort of thing. And, so I was getting, so this is why it's tofu scramble. So it's not pizza or burritos. It's like, like getting into cooking. And I'm, you know, again, it's like,
well, you guys were broken down there for like a week, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was like 12 years ago. So I'm a way better cook now than I am then. So keep this in mind. But, so we woke up one day and, we were like, I'm going to make some tofu scramble. And Allison like drove me some food co-op and we were like buying spices and like just getting amped in my head of like, this is going to be the best tofu scramble anyone has ever tasted in their life. And I'm like getting real into it. And like, I think the other dudes were like still asleep at that time. I spilled a bottle of melatonin just to like have
it. Gus knocked it over.
Yeah, yeah. Getting so excited about this tofu scramble that you guys will never taste.
P.S. That's why I don't like cooking shows, because I can't fucking taste that food. Okay, continue.
That's fair. That's fair. But I like to learn like some of the. Anyways. and so we're cooking and it's a small kitchen and I essentially throw a fuck ton of cayenne pepper in it.
Oh, no.
And like cumin and chili powder and some other spices, but those are the really three that you really need to know about. And like there were some veggies in it and lovingly made, but everyone's like, you know, served it up and like, you know, the presentation of the food is sometimes like a little bit of like, in my head I'm like, here, have this life, this, or whatever, this
lovely,
this, you know, have a piece of me. And
how very Jewel of you.
Check the show notes for some links to my poetry.
I bought that Jewel poetry shit, by the way. Yeah. I think I might have even bought like the audio version.
Nice.
I liked her first two albums. I'm going to go ahead and say that on the record. I don't care.
On the record? It's I haven't really listened to them too much. And so I give everyone the bowls and
of tofu scramble.
Of tofu scramble. And they eat it, and like kind of one by one, they're like, "Oh, it's kind of spicy," and like putting it down.
Oh no!
And like be like, "I don't know if I can eat this." Oh, and like, no. I'm like,
"Had you not tried it?"
Well, I'm a little bit of a heat seeker.
Okay.
So it was not. It was way too spicy.
Okay, I would have been someone putting it down. I'm a spicy wimp.
And John Hall, the guitarist of Mouth Breather, to this day was like, "So really, like, did you mean to make it that spicy?" Or I don't know.
Well, was it an accident? Did it like
it was an accident, but
but you still liked it.
Yeah, of course. It was
to me, once something is like past a certain level of spiciness, it doesn't matter anymore because I can't taste anything because I'm just on fire. I don't understand people who love super hot spicy, like someone who orders Thai hot and is just like sweating and their nose is running. It's like, you are not enjoying your food at this point. Why the fuck are you trying to be like macho about it? It fucking pisses me off. Like, I don't understand it. I don't like it. And I hate it. And that's my rant about spicy food.
No, yeah. That's a good rant. I also feel like it took me a little while to like realize that same thing. I remember, yeah, someone be like, you cannot eat. Yeah, exactly what you
said. Like, it's going to overpower any sort of flavor.
Right.
If you're just like snotting and crying the whole time.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. The follies of youth, I tell you. They'll make you eat the habanero.
Well,
I think it's like, because what was the worst tour you've ever been on?
Because I can't think of any tours that where just like every show fell through and everything was terrible. Like,
yeah.
Even the month-long tour that Petals did with Hold Tight, like, we had two breakdowns that took a long time and, like, made us miss a bunch of shows. But because of who I was with, like, we were still having fun.
Yeah.
And so, being broken down, I'm still, like, not at work. I'm still away from home. I'm still, like, with my buds.
Yeah.
And, like, thankfully, we had, like, a place to stay while we were broken down for a week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm such, like, an optimist that, like, it takes something, like, people being not nice or feeling disrespected by people.
Yeah.
To like make a tour not feel great.
Yeah. Not knowing what tour you're talking about, I do understand. I think there was one tour for me, you know, I think a lot of, or at least I thought about group dynamics.
Yeah.
In touring a lot over the years, whereas Life Views and Realm was like probably my first entry point to that. And in my opinion, so I'm not going to project on that to anyone of like what they thought or what they felt of that. But like, I did feel as coming in as the third bassist, you know?
Right.
So keep that in mind too.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like it seemed, I thought we were playing pretty solid music,
right?
Like, in the songs I wrote with them, the six songs I wrote with them were like pretty solid, again, as a bassist in a very guitar heavy band,
right?
But I do remember like thinking like it wasn't built to last because some people weren't getting along with me, or I didn't get along with people, or people didn't get along with each other, and just the group dynamics.
Like, you being in that band wasn't necessarily built to last? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I quit, and they were going to continue on without me with another. I think, actually, Graham Scala was going to be the fourth bassist, but they kind of fizzled out after that. But so it wasn't really about me. But,
right.
At least is why they broke up.
Right.
Just like, I know for, like, with Wild Owls, as I mentioned, like, we were all, like, kind of in it together. And there was, and I'll get to some of the fights about some of the bands that, like, for the most part, Wild Owls was, like, a band in it together. And, like, we were a troop of people, like, and not so much like fuck you to everyone else, because I don't think we're that brazen, but like it was more like, this is who we are, this is what we're about, like, Triple Twins, I felt a very similar vibe of like
if you're friends with people, if you aren't just starting a band of like random people to, you know, play together, if you're like friends first, that does like change the dynamic,
which has been interesting. Like, I never got to the point or the level of playing music for a profession. And so, like, I can only, like, I've always thought it'd be interesting to, like, be in a band that was either successful or not. It really doesn't matter. But, like, where, like, the other person that you're, like, let's say you're one of the main creative types in that band, and there's another main creative type, and that you feed off of each other so well creatively, but like personally you're so destructive around each other. Like, I've never been in that situation, you know, like a Fleetwood Mac situation, where like, or or like other like the Replacements or something, where
or
like they're just
not
so caustic with each other, but they like what they put out transcends a lot of that like
dynamic issue.
Well, and
or I've even if it wasn't that you were like destructive, but just like we're kind of
coworkers almost outside of the creative process. Like that would be so different than anything I've experienced. Cause I've always been like friends with.
Same. I guess like, the Foo Fighters is like kind of what I'm like thinking about when it comes to that sort of stuff of like, when you get so successful, it's like a working relationship, but like you might, may or may not.
Did he text you back?
Matt Leisha said, "Hey, sorry, I'm at Joey's Supper Club in a Groundhog Day situation."
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, when it comes to dynamics and stuff, like, yeah, we've never been in that, but, or at least like that I know of. But it's always been interesting of that of like, so I was in a band called Reps as well. And Mike Morris, who's also in Pink Razors, he and I played guitar in that band and we're playing together again with our mutual friend, Kim Marino, project TBD. But like, for instance, he and I, like had a really good, working relationship with each other is like knowing how to play off each other with guitars, but I don't know where I'm going with this.
But you're not friends because you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Matt was said he's available in 20 if that's helpful.
Oh boy. Sorry, Matt. It's not gonna happen.
Okay. But like as far as like on the road strife, I got clearance of this. So like the two main fights I think I've ever been in tour were not so much like Eric's story, but one time Evan threw a drumstick at me.
Okay, good. I was like, anything else drum related would be really mean.
Threw a drumstick at me while we played, and
like on purpose. Heesh.
And he was like, "You're not rocking out enough."
Oh boy.
And you know,
that's dumb.
It's a little silly. You know, it's also silly now. Like, I'm sure, like, if you listen to this or like heard that, he'd be like, "Yeah, I don't know." Yeah,
right.
Which, but like, you know, at the time, yeah, of like, we're in Iowa and we have a band meeting about about putting it all in, and you know, it's just a little absurd at that time. Like looking back on it now, and that time I was like, that was one of the times I got really heated.
After you played or
while
like,
we played, the more absurd time.
Hold on. Wait, I need a little more information. So did that? You guys like mid set, like squabble?
There might've been I'm only telling it from my side of the story. Sure. So like there might've been a conversation that was had without me being like, "Jeff needs to rock out harder." Or something, you know. So it was also 2003 when like
you're
Blood
air
Brothers,
drumming. Yeah. So is this like as you guys are playing, you're having like somewhat of an argument?
I don't know. No, okay. This is like maybe. No, I'm not even getting all that. I'm not going to get into maybe. So like, because what happened was he threw a drumstick at me and was like, "You got to rock out harder." Okay. And I was like, "Why is he throwing a drumstick at me about rock and like?" As I mentioned, like sleeping 40 of the first 48 hours in Europe of like, so I was like already kind of on a track of like mental exhaustion, like that I didn't know about.
And if I'm watching a band, like I don't want them to look bored, but also you can tell if someone's like forcing themselves to like rock out. Like if you're not feeling it, if you're tired, like you're allowed, especially if you're on a really long ass fucking tour.
I agree with you. I will say,
I'm like, don't disagree with me. I completely agree.
No, yeah. My immediate thought was like, Joe Lally doesn't rock out. Right. Like, he's a fucking phenomenal bassist, and like the other guys rock out. Yeah. So it's like everyone plays their part to a certain extent. Like,
and
not
don't
everyone,
fake it. Like,
yeah, not everyone has to go hard all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's your other fight story?
Sorry. This one might be actually funnier because of how absurd it is. This is the one I got the clearance for. The Evan one, I'm sure he'd be fine with because it's not a huge.
That's barely a fight.
Yeah. And again, like, risk averse, not really great with confrontation, but like John Hall and I, like definitely on our European tour got into it of like, for some reason we were both annoying each other.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And it like, for lack of a better term, like came to a head where, and I can't remember like the exact circumstances where he was like, I think I was like, I was reading Kitchen Confidential or he was reading Kitchen Confidential. And one of us was like, at a certain point where it doesn't matter, like the setup, this, but it was like where I said to him, like, oh, well, I read faster than you, so I get that. And like,
oh, and that offended him.
Yeah. But also, what an absurd thing to like flex on.
Right. I read faster than you.
And like, because we talked about it here, and like everyone else is like, what do you guys, what's wrong with you guys? And then John was like, it's go time. Like, he was on the same page.
Oh my God.
Of like, if you can just think about like nerdy West End kids being like, no. Like, I don't know.
Did you guys actually come to blows about this?
No, no. Oh, okay. But like, that's the extent of like passive aggressiveness that we had. And they're like, well, I read faster than you. And like, what the fuck do you say to me? Just like absurd anger for, anyways.
That's really funny.
But I thought that was silly enough to say, like,
I, as a slow reader, uh-huh, I would probably buck at that because I would be mad because you would be right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't.
Yeah, I am a fucking slow ass reader. What are you going to do?
But the thing is, I don't even think I'm that quick of a reader. I think I just like thought that was a flex at the time of like, got his ass.
Right. Gotcha.
And the Ultra Dolphins dudes are like, these guys are weird.
Why are you fighting about reading?
Just read a book. Shut up.
Chill out. Yeah. That's really funny. I feel like Triple Twins, we were all like pretty nice to each other.
Yeah, I think so.
It was very chill. Honestly, I wish that band could have like kept going.
Yeah, it would have been fun. I like, to be honest, I'm still a little bummed that like I never recorded with you guys because
that would have
like,
been awesome.
It would have been really fun.
And I had so much anxiety about being like a vocalist, like,
oh, yeah?
Front, air quotes, front person, that like I was just becoming comfortable with it when we like stopped.
Oh, interesting.
And so I feel like it could have gotten like really good.
Yeah.
That's like a dumb thing to say. I'm going to take that out.
I mean, I thought it was cool indie rock band.
I liked
for that
it.
Time.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. You got anything else on your notes?
I do have something non-food related for Best Practices.
Yeah, please.
So Best Practices was a band I was in Providence, Rhode Island. This guy, Neil King, who was in Weak Teeth, played guitar, who played drums in Weak Teeth. And this guy, John Pagano, played bass in it. As well as he played guitar in Weak Teeth, and then our friend Paul DiTicio played drums. And
all these people have really good like mafia names.
Yeah, they Rhode Island, baby.
Yeah, is that where the mafia is?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For real.
There's in Rhode Island?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, like a plug to a podcast. I don't know them personally, but Crime Town.
Okay.
The podcast Crime Town is a fantastic serialized podcast with the first season about the mafia activity in Providence, Rhode Island.
Ooh.
And I would also recommend the book Prince of Providence, I think is what it's called. I can't remember the exact title, which is about the mayor, Buddy Cianci,
okay,
of Providence, who was a very, very corrupt politician and like was elected, after going to jail, elected as mayor of Providence, Rhode Island again.
After going to jail. Wow.
And he ran for a third time, didn't win, and then he passed away in the last couple of years. But, like, yeah, there's, like, a very large storied history of mafia activity in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow. Okay.
With the Patriarca family. Anyways, okay. Very fascinating. But, so we all played in this band. It was a fun. It was a fun band. We had some bands, and we went on a 4-day tour, jumping on a Wee Teeth leg of the tour. And
okay,
one of the trips, one of the destinations was New York City. And
I've heard of it.
We were supposed to play at this place called Expo 929 or Expo 909 or something. And we're, I mean, you've gotten on the bridge to get to New York.
Sure.
You're like, it's backed up. And yeah. We're like, we're looking at, you know, an hour wait time. And like, I get a text like, the show is moved. Like 2 hours before the show was supposed to go on. Like we're moving it to this bar called Goodbye Blue Monday. And they were very accommodating. They're very nice. But like we had, like it went from a 9-band show to a 4-band show. And we had a 2-hour window and we had to use like these rinky dink, like back lines.
Oh gosh.
Of this. And we played with Monument, who Brandon and I played with together, and this band called Living Room, who was from Brooklyn, I guess, okay, at that time. And they're actually a pretty good band as well. And Weak Teeth. But
originally there was nine.
There was originally nine bands, but apparently this high school metal band. So the story went, this high school metal band like gave the club $600 to be like, no, bump that show, we're gonna play instead, or something.
Whoa.
Along those lines. And
just threw some money at it. And yeah, they were like, okay.
So like, if you can imagine like the logistical nightmare of like telling your friends like, hey, we're actually going to this place and it's an hour from now, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And like you only had, and Weak Teeth like left late in the day. So, and they got into traffic because of course they fucking did.
Of course.
And so like Neil and John showed up, like walked in, walked on stage, and then we played the show while I was tuning their stuff. Like we were going to play as a 2-piece. Me and Paul and I were going to play as a 2-piece.
Like in case they didn't show up, you guys were just going to still play?
Yeah, because that's how we like started the band, as like just us playing together.
And, okay.
Like, but don't have those chops for a 2-piece, you know?
Dang.
So I think
they walked in like right on time to play. That's funny.
The other only other story that I wanted to break down was the first time I met Nina Marino, Kim's wife, was driving home from Fest with Curtis Pattinson's van.
I remember this story.
I was driving. There was Curtis. It was Curtis's van. I remember we were listening to Dillinger Forest versus God, which is a fantastic driving record.
Nice.
Josh Mall of Josh Mall fame was also there, and Nina Marino, and probably a couple of people that I'm forgetting.
Yep.
And I was driving and like heard this like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, do you guys hear that? And everyone's like, nah, you're an idiot. Shut up. Like, keep driving.
We're sleeping.
Yeah. And then like, the tire busts and like had to pull over, and like we get eaten up by a bunch of fire ants.
Oh no.
And that's where the Waffle House thing came from. Yeah. To bring it full circle, we got broken down, had to have Waffle House the next morning. And so I spent the night in a hotel room with Curtis, Nina, and Josh Mall. And again, probably some other people. And after getting eaten alive by fire ants and looking for replacement parts for Curtis's van.
Yeah.
Like killing time in a Waffle House.
Damn. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing when a tire blows up.
It was not awesome.
Yeah. Like the one time it happened to me, it was like busy, like 3-lane interstate. I was all the way on the left lane and it blew up and I had to like sort of like limp back across to, you know, pull over on the right. And it was really scary.
Yeah.
Didn't like,
we all made
didn't
it.
Like it.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. Well, so you have some new stuff you've been working on, right?
Yeah.
What you got coming up?
Yeah. Thanks. And I'm very excited. Me and Kim and Mike Morris are hopefully going to get out of the basement. Get out of the basement and have some songs ready. But in the meantime, my friend Neil, aforementioned Neil, played drums and on this recording with me, and my friend James Dubeck, who lives in D.C., also played guitar on it. This will probably be like the closest thing to a solo record I will ever do. We recorded 6 songs.
Oh, so you wrote all the songs?
Wrote all the songs, and I played bass, and I'm going to be doing vocals because John Hernandez from Timeshares did not get off his lazy butt to do lyrics and vocals like he said he would
a year later.
So this is
Damn
a call out to John Hernandez from Timeshares.
Busted.
So I'll be doing, oh yeah, fantastic.
Great dude.
So, the recording will be called Northeast Regional, and it'll probably be songs about late capitalism and why it's bad.
Capitalism is bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And why it's causing a lot of issues. You know, we're really going to get into those late 90s issues that we all grew up with.
Nice.
But anyways, that will be finished, and we recorded that with Steve Roche in Permanent Hearing Damage, or Permanent Hearing Damage in Philadelphia.
And is that going to be like a Bandcamp release? Or?
It'll probably be a Bandcamp release, or cool. I might do some like real small run, like laughs.
Cool.
But otherwise, looking forward to having that out there.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for being here, or having me here, I guess, more so. I'm at your house.
Live from Maine.
What?
Live from Main Street.
Oh, I was like, we're not in Maine. We're in Virginia. Oh. Live from Main Street. Yes, yes. Thank you for listening. You know, follow on Instagram if you want. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. And email at tourmoderva@gmail.com. Send me some stories if you've got them, questions. If you want to be a guest, hit me up. That would be awesome. I mean, really, so far I've been talking to friends because that's how it makes sense to start doing something like this. But, like, I don't have to know you. If you got stories, I want to hear them. And what are you looking for?
The off mic.
There's no off button. Your mic is hot until we're done. And you have to sing soon, so you can't turn your mic off.
Eric didn't sing, so I was like, what's the song?
Yeah, he did sing.
Did he? It was the hamster.
Well, that was at the end, yeah.
How's the song go?
I just hold out good and then you sing bye.
Oh, okay.
Do you want a high note or a low note? Middle note.
Yeah. I'm not trying to,
yeah. Also, we can say it if you are uncomfortable singing.
I would go with the higher.
I like
higher.
Your gestures. Yeah.
I'm doing the Pavarotti right now.
Goodbye.
All
right, thanks everybody. Bye.